Hi, everyone. Good morning. Happy Saturday. My name is Katie, and I'm gratefully recovering in this program. I identify as a love, fantasy addict, anorexic, and I know that deep down I'm a sex addict as well, but she's just been waiting in the wings for a while, and she hasn't had a lot of time to come out and play, if you will, over the last couple of years. So I'm not identifying that as that right now. I also want to just welcome the newcomers. So glad you're here, Dennis. So grateful that you're here as well. And I wanted to start off by just reading from this Law Big Book, which has been such a huge part of my own recovery. I'm going to take a couple of different pieces out of the building partnerships. Perhaps we confuse sex and romantic intrigue with love, but in the final analysis, it was authentic love. We were on a deeper level seeking. After we were sober a while, we began to name this need, which drove us into more and more desperate and hopeless sexual romantic situations. The need for our lives to have meaning. Having a steady income could be important. Having a creative outlet was a pleasure. Having mutually supportive friendships was essential. But none of these things gave our lives meaning in the way we, with a capital W-E, craved meaning. The answer seemed to be that the purpose of life is to love. Perhaps our hungry search for love was not so far off base after all. While we were not able to extract lasting meaning from our addictive relationships, our need for meaning was real. We were right that a meaningful life is one filled with love, but we had distorted that meaning with a whole plethora. I'm not even going to go through them, but I think we all have our own, you know, distorted meaning of what love is. And by expanding our definition of love beyond the sexual and romantic context and aligning ourselves with this larger experience of love, as we learn to give more freely of ourselves, we bring ourselves into the flow of divine love, divine purpose. When I read that, it's such a reminder to me that while my addictive patterns are debilitating, like at the core, my intention is just to want love, and that's not a bad thing. And because of my upbringing, being raised by two parents who attempted to divorce each other four different times and stayed together and lived in their own fantasy of looking really good on the outside but being really dysfunctional on the outside, being emotionally unavailable to my brother and I, not displaying like what love could be like, not feeling safe to just have a full expression of self in the house that I grew up in, being molested by my next door neighbor at age 7, and then them going away, and so creating this really confusing feeling of emotional attachment to somebody who's older than me, while also them disappearing. And feeling like the only safe place to really be my full self was in these quiet, silent moments where I created my own worlds in my little cubby hole and my little storage space in my bedroom. And, you know, living in Los Angeles, like we're in the land of creatives, like we're in the land of fantasy and the land of beautiful people. Like, we're in the mecca of our PhD program for SLA recovery. And like, what a gift that is. I find that living in Los Angeles, and I've been here for 2 years, I come from Washington, D.C., which they call the Hollywood for ugly people. So I wasn't really attracted to many people there. I just thought I just didn't like sex. And coming here, like, I just find myself being completely, like, butted up against my, like, all of my diseases. Not my diseases, my kryptonite, if you will. And I either have the choice to be taken down by it to the studs, which that floor continues to raise in that program, this program, or I can overcome it. And I need to remind myself that again, that deeper want and desire is to have more of an expansive definition of what love even is. As one of my favorite poets that passed away this last week said, like when she was dying, that I have stretch marks all over my heart. And it makes me emotional just even thinking about that. that this program really allows me to really like stretch, my ability to love. And a couple of the things that get in the way of that, I'm in the middle of a step six right now. And for anyone who's a newcomer or hasn't started the steps yet, we really focus on like step one through five of really identifying what our personal love fantasy addiction looks like for us. And then step six and seven beyond are like creating a new life based on what we want it to be in real life as opposed to just the fantasy. And so I'm in the middle of creating my dating plan with my sponsor, and that actually makes me want to dovetail a little bit. You know, when we first get into recovery, a lot of times, you know, identifying or getting a sponsor, it's like we just need to get into the step work, and that's great. And eventually, as we develop like a sense of self, there are these other wants and needs of, you know, I really want a sponsor who has this type of recovery or that has this kind of sobriety. Like we're able to articulate more what we want. And I would say for the first 5 years of my sobriety or my recovery, I just would take whatever I could get. And that like was very reflective of dating even. Like, oh, they have interest in me? Like that's enough. And I just solidified like an incredible sponsor that I've been working step six and seven. I worked with another sponsor through five, and I wasn't feeling like I was getting the recovery I needed. And that was a huge part of my recovery to say, I'm not getting my needs met. And not necessarily from this person, but from this relationship. And that was really important for me to be able to detach with kindness and love and actually go towards the thing that I wanted, which I'm getting now, and I'm really challenged. And they have what I want. And we've been working through my character defaults right now and creating their opposites. So I wanted to go through a couple of those with you right now and also go through what my tension regarding dating is. And I'm not actually dating right now because I really want to be present to my recovery right now. Like it fully needs me. And it feels like it's very directed by my higher power. And my sponsor and I decided to take a break from dating for that as well. So what is my intention regarding dating? Practice authentic presence and communication. Practice healthy flirting. To listen to my body and become more intimate with my feelings and be able to articulate them healthily to another person. Get comfortable with disappointment. To practice listening. To gradually allow greater intimacy into my life with another slowly over time and with sobriety. To have fun and enjoy the process of slowly revealing myself over time. To experience the enjoyment of being my whole self with another human and to play. To be open and willing to find a romantic monogamous partnership. Now again, like even writing that out felt so powerful that like those are needs, those are wants, those are desires. I can articulate them. My anorexia doesn't want me to have that. It wants me to stay isolated. It wants me to stay alone. It wants me to stay in fantasy. It wants me to like spin off and not be present with you all and to just like eject out of my life. And I find that through the step work, I've developed this like really amazing life. My friendships are blossoming. My life is full. I love the work I do in the world. I have a lot of play in my life. My top lines, which are things that we are focusing on to replace the bottom lines, are just filled with things that are so specific to me, which I find are really important when it comes to sober dating, so that I'm looking and wanting to attract someone that's a compliment to that, not a compliment to my disease, which is really empty and goes after like hitting these certain points that are my triggers that trigger my trauma and keep me in this revolving door of the same story, which is now it's boring. And the high that I'm getting from being anorexic and staying in fantasy is just like, it's boring. And so articulating this, what my intention is for sober dating, what I want, what I desire is so much bigger than me and God directed. as opposed to like what that disease was doing, which was just keeping me in this really, really small existence, which I intuitively thought was safety, which is what I'm always looking for in my disease, is to just keep me safe. What I think, what the story I have is safe. And so as far as the character defaults that keep me from dating and intimacy, and there are a bunch of them, judgment is one of my favorite ones. I'm going to find out what is wrong with this person. I'm going to find out what is wrong with each one of you so I can stay safe. I didn't realize how much internalized misogyny I had. Like I would feel ick if men or even women that I've dated like displayed certain things that felt like overtly feminine to me. Like that was really gross to actually admit to myself. And where are the places that I'm not allowing myself to be like that? Because I'm ambitious, I'm driven. So like there's a lot of more masculine, misogynistic characteristics within myself as well. And we found that the opposite of that is being open to being discerning and curious. I want to see if they're a good fit, being patient and allowing that to unfold over time. Another one that's a really big one for me, which is a default, and I like using defaults as opposed to defects. Like, I didn't choose this from an early age to, like, be defective. This happened because of my life experiences. And a lot of them aren't my fault. As I got older, I was responsible, but I'm absolutely responsible now for showing up for myself and showing up for the life that I really dream of, based in reality and sobriety. So fear of inadequacy is a huge one for me. It was all over my fourth step. When I'm close to someone, I impulsively can say hurtful things, use sarcasm, or make snarky comments. I tend to be oblivious. I have to bring slowness and discernment to my impulsivity here on the West Coast, because we're just like a little bit quicker on the East Coast. Not letting myself know what I feel. Like that was a big one for me. Just like saying yes or no, but not actually like checking in with myself and like, how do I feel about how a certain situation or reaction. I say that like I'm quick-witted for the East Coast, but like in actuality, like it takes me time to know what I feel, because a lot of times, most of my life, I just didn't even allow myself to. I stay vague about my own needs to avoid difficult conversations. I become resentful, confused, disassociated. Love the dissociation. That's when the fantasy really comes alive. The opposite of that is taking time to be able to write out what I think, want, need, to slow down, to get clear. Give myself time to think, communicate clearly, being in the moment, here and now. Thank you. Putting the emphasis on the outcome. I don't have to say anything, even if I wish they asked beforehand. What are a couple of the other ones I want to go into? The fantasy. I think that one's important. Negative fantasy, denial of other people. I'll get trapped. I'll get sucked in and not be able to leave. I won't be able to trust my feelings. Believing it's going to end. Speeding up the story, knowing it's not going to work out. Fear of being abandoned. Preemptive ending. The opposite. I stay present for reality of the person and observing what is real. I'm present. Share what is physically present in the moment. So yeah, these are what I'm working on right now in my sixth step, and it feels really powerful to just get it down on paper. What I'm looking for in relationship, and again, this emphasis on real life experience, not fantasy, is kindness that is genuine, and I can feel their heart through their actions. Attraction that feels calm and safe in my body, yet also makes me come alive. A sense of humor that makes me cry and pee in my pants a little bit. I want to cackle. Someone who can clearly articulate what they want, is consistent, and over-communicates. We can both state our truth in a kind yet direct way. Dates feel like being a teenager again, but now we have money. Juicy conversation that feels like an equal tennis match. I know I didn't really cover sort of like what it was like before, but to be honest, I'm not in that place anymore. Today, like life is really good. It's really juicy. And I find that the anorexia specifically like is coming up really hard when I'm taking these big courageous actions. It's just waiting in the wings to take over. And I need you all to be able to stay in the moment and to stay present to what is actually reality, what's not going on and here, because all this wants to do all the time is just to keep me safe. And their interpretation of safety is isolation and being like this feeling of just overwhelming loneliness that feels like it's somewhat controllable. So thank you so much for letting me lead today and just being present. I really appreciate it.